morning, everybody. Good to see you on this bright, sunshiny Sunday morning here at Calvary Baptist Church here in Powder Springs. And so good to be here. Just got through finishing up a week of Jubilee. Did everybody enjoy Jubilee this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Had a great, great time of Jubilee here at the church. It's just hard to believe it's already over and all the planning and all the help that's gone into it. And then it came and it gone. But definitely has left some lasting impressions on many folks' minds, and we're thankful and grateful for that. I do got some things I want to mention this morning and several announcements to make, so we're going to jump right into those things, and then we'll have a time to pray or a time of prayer. Brother Brian, how did Junior Jubilee go? I heard it went pretty good. Amen. What a wonderful blessing that is, Jalen and Gracie. And so we're going to be planning a baptism service soon, and which follows salvation. And so looking forward to that. And again, just a great, great, great time during Jubilee. Just want to thank everybody for all your help, for serving with a willing heart, a joyful spirit, and just continued faithfulness throughout the week. So many different people had a hand in this event that we just had, and so what a blessing it was for you to be able to help in that. Cannot, I believe, every singer or every preacher, and some of the singers commented on the cards that was written and given, and so thank you, ladies group, and others outside the ladies group, possibly, that even given to that. That definitely encouraged them. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. And I do want to make an announcement on Miss Darlene wants to give, wanted to make, well, we wanted to make known for her, her newest grandbaby boy, Callum Tommy. I got that right, I guess, Callum Tommy. And what a blessing. Congrats to Taylor, Aaron, and Langston on that. And I know she's thrilled over that. That new grandbaby. And also, speaking of Aaron and Taylor, I do want to make an announcement that Aaron, of course, Taylor, for those who do not know, is Miss Darlene's daughter, but Aaron and Taylor's church have an Easter play coming up, and they go to New Beginning Baptist Church in Senoia, Georgia. I've been to it before, and it's a tremendous play, drama, and I'm just encouraging all that would like to go to come to this. It's called The Crown, and 7 p.m. each night, Friday the 22nd, Saturday the 23rd, Sunday the 24th. There may be some other times that they're doing it, but that's these primary times leading up to Easter. I believe me and my family, we're going to go on Friday. We may go Saturday, but as of right now, Friday. So, church, if you'd like to go, you know, maybe we can take a group and make an appearance there and enjoy that production. And so just consider that. It's a great, great time. I always like the trip out there through Noonan and Senoia. It's a nice little road trip coming and going. So just remember that. Also, another congrats this morning to first-time great-grandparents. One there, Miss Catherine. Where's Miss Catherine? There's Miss Catherine. Congratulations to Ceylon and Catherine, to their great-granddaughter, Scotty Lane Plemons. And what a blessing that is. So just wanted to mention that. I do want to say it's so good to see Brother James and Sister Shirley with us this morning. Been praying for you, Brother James, Miss Shirley. And so good to see you back in God's house. And I know you're glad to be back. We love you guys. So good for you to be here. It's good to see you this morning. Also, Matt Holmes is in the hospital this morning. Diverticulitis.
He did get the go-home.
Okay.
You're filling him up with medicine.
Yes.
Antibiotics and everything. So, y'all will pray for him. Also, he's supposed to leave tomorrow around noon to go on a business trip for training.
Yeah. We sure will. We sure will. We'll be. I'm glad he's already going home from the hospital, but let's continue to remember this. And good to see Brother LC this morning, his fiancée. and good to have you here this morning. All right, special announcement. No service tonight. No service tonight. I want tonight to be a night of rest and reflection. R&R. Rest and reflection. You know, a lot was put into Jubilee. A lot, again, was said during Jubilee. A lot of great messages. The songs, of course, they had messages within them as well. I don't want to just, you know, brush by that and move on service after service. I want us to just take a pause, a time out, and be with our families tonight, rest, again, reflect on that, and then we will pick up services again this coming up Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So please remember that. A couple more things. The 24th will be Youth Sunday, a.m. and p.m., and so we're looking forward to that and to hear from our young people in worship and Brother Brian in the morning, Brother CJ in the evening. On the 30th, on a Saturday, it's the Saturday before Easter, is going to be our next community outreach. And so if you haven't been a part of that and you'd like to be, we're going to go pound the pavement, knock on doors, invite people to our Easter service. And speaking of our Easter service, it will be that morning on the 31st, no service that night. And so that's pretty much the month of March. And we're moving right along, so just remember those things. All right. Did you come this morning to worship? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, well, let's worship the Lord. Let's go to Him in a word of prayer, and then we'll toss things back to Brother Allen. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning. We're so very thankful, grateful, and blessed at what You did during Jubilee, Junior Jubilee. Lord, just the fellowship. Oh God, the messages, the music, all of it from start to finish. No doubt our bodies were feeling tired about halfway through the meeting. But Lord, You had a way of energizing us spiritually. And I personally found out when I went home, I was so excited about the next night. Of course, that bodily fatigue set in the next day, but I was always energized spiritually the following night. And so Lord, I know everyone else felt the same thing, just being excited that we had it and what we experienced. But Lord, our bodies do get fatigued and tired. But tonight, Lord, we're just calling things off. We want to be with our families and reflect back on the services. Help us, Lord, do reflect. Truly reflect back on the things that were said. And again, Lord, the messages that were presented, the things we felt, God, the things You spoke to us about, Lord, help us to just reflect on those things. And Lord, we're just thankful for the things that You have done, the things that You're doing now, the things that You're going to do. Even in this service this morning, we know You want to do something special. We don't take it for granted. We put it in park for 1 hour, and we listen to what You have to tell us. We love You today. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Church, if you'll stand with me, choir, stand with me. And let's sing that chorus this morning that says, Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. Would you, this morning with me, just give not only the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning, but are you thankful for our choir? They've done a tremendous job this week. Would you just give them a hand this morning? They worked hard to get to Jubilee, and then through the week, the Lord just used them in a powerful way. And I had someone come to me this week and say, boy, I wish we had a big choir like that when it came. I think it was on, was it Monday night? Tuesday night. And I said, well, we have in the past, and we could again. So I'll throw out an invitation out there. If you've been praying about becoming a part of the choir or coming back to the choir, it would be a great time. It would be a great time as we prepare for Easter. Can you believe it? The choir's worked so hard. We had our singing up at Eastwood, and then we had Jubilee to get ready for. And now they have 3 weeks to get ready for Easter Sunday morning. So make that a matter of prayer. We would love to have you come and be a part of the choir. It would be a great, great time. And we invite you to come. We invite you to come back. And it would just be a tremendous time. But they've worked so hard this week, and I'm so thankful for them. And we're going to share a song in a few moments that we sang through the week, had a request for it, and we're going to try our best to fulfill that request this morning. But you make the choir a matter of prayer and make Easter a matter of prayer. We really need the Lord's help to try and get ready for Easter in such a short time. But it's so good to see you in the house of the Lord. If you're visiting with us, you're our special guest. Thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning. We truly mean that. That's more than just words. We're thankful that you're here today. Let's go to him in a word of prayer. No choir practice, of course, this evening. And we'll just have a little time of rest and reflection. I've got a lot to think about. I don't know about you, but boy, I told CJ this morning, I said, I feel like a sponge this morning. We've just taken so much in this week, and we just need to really reflect and allow God to take those messages now and apply them. Amen. I need them to be applied to my heart, to my life this week. Father, we love you. And we are so thankful for the opportunity we have to be in your house this morning, be with those that are going through a difficult time. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Matt, touch him. You know exactly what is needed there. God, I pray that you would just, Lord, be with us in a powerful way today. Lord, I pray that you would now take our pastor, Lord, who too is his mind, I know is full, Lord, of all the messages this week. And Lord, I know you've given him a message for this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help him to deliver it in a way that you'd be pleased. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the choir as we sing. Lord, accept our worship today as a church. And Lord, I pray that you'd just help us to worship individually. And God, I thank you that we can worship this morning corporately as well. Now, Lord, bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, again, just fill this place with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray especially this morning, if there's someone in this place that's never accepted you as their personal Savior, may this be the day that they come to realize that, come to know you as Lord of their life. We'll praise you and thank you, Lord, for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name. thankful for our musicians. I don't say that enough, but I am so thankful for the musicians that we have. And they put their heart and soul into everything that we do, and I'm just thankful for them. You should be as well, and I know you are. But we are very blessed to have the musicians that we have, and I'm so thankful for that. Would you please pray this morning as we sing, Did I Mention?
Before we sing this morning, Did I Mention? I want to just thank the Lord for being so good to me. And I want to say this was a request, and it may be you're tired of hearing this song, but I would just ask that you'll just now just listen to the words as this is part of my testimony, and I want to be faithful to everything he asks of me. In this song, we hear he's faithful to every promise he's ever made. He's been so faithful to me. I know I've shared many times in the past, I did not have an earthly father figure. My grandfather served that role very well as my earthly father figure, but my heavenly father, he has always been so faithful, and he's never let me down. And I want to also say in this, in these lyrics you'll hear, there are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done. And I hope that you can say the same this morning. Did I mention? David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious.
That's all I
and just wanted to have a special before preaching time. Come this morning, you come to the altar and do business with the Lord. Do business at the pew, but do business with God today is our prayer. While these are singing, we're going to sing a verse or a chorus, whatever they want to do. Please be obedient to the Lord. Anybody else this morning? you have a need this morning?
He never gave up. He never gave up.
Come and get your needs met this morning. Aren't you glad he never gave up on you? What a blessing.
If your back's against the wall and you feel all hope is gone, if you often ask yourself, is there a reason to go on?
Are you saved this morning? Do you know you're saved? When you die, you're going to heaven. Maybe God is calling you to salvation this morning. Don't push him back. Don't push him away.
He never gave up. He never gave up. Mercy reached out. That was enough. If you could see who I was before, then I'm sure that
Well, we praise the Lord this morning for just doing what He does, And like one of the songs that was sang this week during Jubilee, sometimes the Holy Spirit moves like a mighty rushing wind, but other times it's a still small voice that says, come hither. So what a blessing for the songs this morning. Thank you, Brother Allen, and your choice this morning. And thank you, Lily, for that song. Thank you, Brother David, for helping her with that. And what a blessing it is to see those coming to the altar just at a place of desperation. You do know that's when you get help, is when you're desperate. That is a place that you can receive help. And so before we start this morning, wherever you're at in life, my prayer is by the end of the message, by the time invitation is given, that you would indeed go to the Lord with your situations and problems. All right. I do want to bow for a word of prayer as we attempt to change gears here and get into the message this morning. I want to give my introduction first, and then we will start turning to verses in the Bible. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you. Oh God, for the good altar time that we've already experienced, Lord, your Holy Spirit is moving, using the music, Lord. And Father, I pray when we get into your word this morning, you will use the message, you will use the scriptures. We know your word is alive, Father, and so I pray that you would speak lively, living words to the hearts of your people. We love you today, and we praise you for the things that you're going to do and that you already have done and the things that you're doing now that we may not even be aware of. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. It rained most of the week during Jubilee, but then Thursday came, and it was sunshine and blue skies. I can see clearly now the rain has gone. I remember when I lived down in Mississippi, that song seemed to come on a lot, and I remember that from a child. Sunshine and blue skies to close out the week of Jubilee. What a blessing that was. Years ago, we had a local flood. It rained hard for, I believe it was just 24 hours. I'm pretty sure everyone remembers that, most of everyone. Water was actually up to the steeple at a specific church on Clay Road. Don't know if you remember that, seeing on the news. All you seen was a cross on the steeple. Waters had rose and covered the whole church. In fact, over at my grandparents-in-law's house here in Lithia Springs, their whole road down there was underwater. And one day, they walked outside, Grandma and Grandpa, and seen a deer that was trying to get on dry ground, and it was struggling to swim in that. So, but yet the next day, after all those rains, there was no more rain, and everyone was assessing and repairing damage. Changing gears a little bit, the Braves had many losing seasons through the years, as we all know. But then came 2021, where they won the World Series. What a blessing that was. And they're going to win 2024, by the way. Just thought I'd give that to you. A cancer patient, I seen this on one of the reels on Facebook a while back. A cancer patient took chemo for months and months and months and months. And then came one day where she was being recorded live and many were in the hallway, family and friends. She walked down the hallway with a big smile on her face and she was able to ring the cancer-free bell. What a blessing it was to see that. I said all that to say this, that there was moments, times, and seasons of difficulty with these things, but there was also times of deliverance. So as I began to think of these examples and do my reading in the scriptures this week and on yesterday, I found several examples in the Bible where things changed for the better eventually. So this morning I want to look at four examples where things looked bleak but turned out beautiful. And again, there's many examples in the Bible, but we're just going to use four. I want to use Noah as an example in his flood. I want to use Moses as an example in his Midian or in being in the desert. I want to use David, which we preached on just a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, as an example, and Goliath. Then I want to use Jesus as an example in the temptation that he faced of Satan. Now, when we get to looking at these biblical examples, how things were bleak but turned out beautiful, that I find a common theme with these four. And that common theme with these four has to do with the number 40. The number 40. Now, this morning, I'm not preaching a biblical numerology message, but I do want to say the number 40 is specific in the Bible, and it does have various applications and reasons. Trouble was experienced for either 40 days or 40 years. But then on day 41 or year 41, deliverance came. So this morning, with that thought and intention in mind, I want to preach just for a few moments on this subject. Don't stop at 40. Don't stop at 40. Now, I'm not talking about 40 years old. I'm over 40 years old. But we're talking about this number 40 as it pertains to the life of these men, how that they experienced trouble and adversity for 40 days or 40 years, but then deliverance came on day 41 or year 41. Don't stop at 40. You know, when you stop something, when you really want to finish, but yet you stop, it just seems like something's lost. When you stop, you always wonder, what could have happened if I kept going? I don't know, I guess it was 3 or 4 years ago. My family and the Martins, we were down in Panama City on one of our vacations. And one night, me and CJ and Jackson and Carter, we went out on a deep sea fishing trip. I'm going to tell you what, that was something else. And you've heard me give this illustration before, but it was late that night and we were getting, everybody was taking in the lines and we were getting ready to go back to the shore there, to the dock, the pier. And I hooked something big. I mean, it was real big. And so I was reeling that thing in, and I was so tired from reeling that thing in that I had to use my shoulder. I was literally going like this, trying to get it in. The captain even came out, and he looked over the top loft where he was at, wondering what it was. And after about, I don't know, it seems like 30 minutes at least, got the fish, whatever it was, right there to the bottom of the boat, and then the line snapped. You believe that? All that hard work for naught. Not that if I did and it stayed on the line that I was able to reel it in. I mean, some of the people on the boat thought maybe it was a, I don't know, 400 or 500 pound grouper or shark. But I never knew what it would be because it got off the line. You know, whenever you stop, you always wonder what could have happened if you kept going. So tonight, this morning, I want to mention four examples of four people that just kept going and what they experienced in their life. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 7. Genesis chapter number 7. And the first person is that of Noah. And we know the story. We know the Lord spoke to him and wanted him to build an ark. And he told him to go for wood. So he went for wood. He went to start this construction, something that he never experienced, but yet he was obedient and he constructed the ark. And we know that in chapter number 7, in verse number 12, if you notice with me, the Bible says, "And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights." And so we know that he got all the animals, two of their kind, inside the ark. We know that Noah and his family was inside the ark, but that was it. The ark, the door of the ark was closed and it began to rain. And for 40 days, it rained, and it rained hard. And so we know that the rain, the Bible says, was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now, look in chapter number 8, if you would. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained." And so literally, it rained for 40 days. It beat upon that boat. The rains was relentless. The waters were filling, covering the earth. And then on day 40, it stopped. 40 days of all of that rain and turbulence they experienced, but on day 40, it stopped. On day 41, there was no more rain. And so we see here that Noah, Noah could have laid down in despair. Noah could have gotten discouraged because of the relentless rain, but he didn't. Noah didn't stop at 40 because there came a day when the rain stopped. And when the rain stopped, they were able to get off the ark at a certain time. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3 of chapter 8, the Bible says, "And the waters returned from off the earth continually." And so each and every day after the rain stopped, Noah could see a little bit of land. And then another day would pass by and he could see a little more land. I kind of thought about it, Noah in the ark, like being up here on this platform. It rained and it was just a bad storm. All these rains flooding the earth 40 days. And then again on day 41, there was no rain and the waters started to recede off of the earth continually. And so day 1 or day 41, he was looking around, see if he could get off the ark. And no doubt the rain stopped, but the waters were continually coming and receding off the earth. And so the next day, he could step off a little bit. The next day, waters receded even more. He could step off. And then eventually, Noah was on dry ground. You say, Brother Justin, what does that have to do with me today? Well, we can look at Noah's life and we could see that it rained hard for 40 days, but yet Noah did not give up. Noah was not in despair. Day 41 came around and Noah was able to experience dry ground. You in your life this morning may be experiencing some of the same things. You may be experiencing some heartache, some adversity, some pain even, physically, spiritually, mentally even. It may feel like that it won't stop, it'll just continue. But my word to you today is don't stop at 40. Don't stop at 40. Keep going, keep moving, because I feel like that if we just do not faint or get weary in our spirits or our minds, then we too can experience gradual change. The same way that these waters, the Bible says in verse 3, and the waters return from off the earth continually. Life has a way when God's in the center of allowing things to continually and gradually get better and better and better. And so this morning we see Noah here. Not only that, in verse number 3, that the waters continually receded, but in verse number 20 we see that Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. Verse number 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Noah worshiped the Lord for the first time in a long time. Some of you may not feel the freedom or the liberty to worship God because you've been suppressed and oppressed by your struggle, by your situation, by your problem. I want to say this, the day's coming where you'll be able to worship the Lord again. The day's coming where He'll turn the tide. The day's coming where you'll be able to offer that praise to the Lord like you always have and always wanted to do. That day is coming for you. And so that's what Noah did. Noah worshiped the Lord. Now, not only do we see Noah here, that Noah didn't stop at 40. But I want you to turn for a moment to the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. And in Exodus, chapter number 3, we see Moses. And Moses didn't stop at 40. Moses literally didn't stop at the age of 40. Exodus, chapter number 3. In the life of Moses, there are three sets of 40. There's from birth to 40. This is when he was the prince in Pharaoh's court. And then there's the age 40 to 80. This is when Moses was a shepherd in Midian. But then there's the third set of 40, when Moses was a leader there in Israel from 80 to 120. These are the three sets of 40 in the life of Moses. And so in Exodus chapter number 3 and verse number 1, we are looking at the second set of 40 expiring. Moses went to the place called Midian, the backside of the desert, and we know that he actually killed a man, and he ran, and he hid, and so he was here for 40 years. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Let's stop there. You don't have to turn there now, but we know in the book of Acts, chapter number 7 and verse number 30, the Bible actually does say that 40 years were expired there in the desert when God began to speak to him. And so we're keeping that in mind. And so we see that 40 years here in the desert has expired. And verse number 2 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. We know that God is calling Moses to be this leader there in Israel, or to rescue Israel. And what a blessing that is. 40 years, if you go back and look in Acts 7, we know that Moses, God put it in the heart of Moses early on to care after the people of God. And so he was actually checking out and checking on the people of God one day. And that's when he seen the struggle. And that's when he killed the Egyptian, buried him in the sand. And so some of the men said that day, why are you coming here to help us? Why are you here to deliver us? You see, God had early on put it in the heart of Moses to deliver the people of God. And so now Moses has been in the backside of the desert for 40 years. He is 80 years old at this time. No doubt Moses probably could have thought, well, God's not going to use me anymore. Or he would have done something by now. Here I am in the backside of the desert and I'm caring after these sheep. Yeah, I'm working and I'm moving and I'm doing things. But perhaps God has forgotten about me and he won't use me. Well, there came a day when God burned a bush in his life. And God began to speak to Moses. Things began to change. And so 40 years of just regular routine maintenance with these sheep. But then there came a day. There came a year. This was year 41 and everything changed. Listen, you may be here this morning and you may say, well, God just won't use me like I want to be used, or I miss my opportunity, or my life is not going in the way it should, and I'm trying to live for God. I'm trying to do what's right. Can I tell you, just don't stop at 40. Don't stop just before the shoreline. Listen, things happen on God's timetables. And God has to do a work in us before he can do a work through us. And no doubt when Moses was on the backside of the desert, he was reliving that moment when he actually slew an Egyptian. So do you think that Moses may have had an anger problem? No doubt he was trying to take care of the people of God and jump in and be a deliverer. But God was going to use him to be a deliverer on a much bigger stage. And so Moses, in anger, killed the man. He killed him. And so no doubt there were days on the backside of that desert where he was thinking about his choice he made. And thinking about the act of violence he did. And so there's times in life when it seems like things are regular, routine, not changing, mundane, just everyday life spinning our wheels. And God, we want to be used. Could it be that God is taking time with us? Could it be that God is doing a work in us? God is changing things in us so that our year 41 can come. So that our day 41 can come. Listen, God is not wasting any time, any days, any opportunities in your life, in my life, if we know him as Savior. God is working. And so we know that God worked in the life of Moses. And so the first 40, he was in Pharaoh's court. The second 40, he was in the desert. But then at year 81, God burned a spot in his life. When was the last time you felt the fire of God in your heart? Has it been a while? Ask God, say, God, would you set me on fire for a ministry? God, set me on fire just to know you more. God, set me on fire so others can come and see me burn for your glory. What a blessing this morning that God spoke to Moses out of that burning bush. And you can go back in the book of Acts chapter number 7 and read the details concerning his life. What a blessing those are. In those details, I'll just say many didn't believe in the call of Moses. Acts chapter number 7, verse number 25. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. They didn't understand the heart of Moses. They didn't understand this call that was in the inside of Moses' heart. Verse 27, of course, is Acts 7. But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? These guys said, Moses, who put you in charge? Who do you think you're rescuing, Moses? And I know the whole while Moses is saying within himself, God has. God has. Verse 35, the Bible says, this Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. God called him to be a deliverer. Yet there was preparation time to be that man God wanted him to be. Are you hearing me this morning? What we're experiencing in life is by divine design. By divine design. And listen, like Brother David Smith said the other night, we are in storms or times of affliction, and sometimes they are due to sin, or there's storms of correction. But then there's storms of perfection. Things that, listen, just fall on the Lord, live for Him, and a storm came our way. And so it's good to know what kind of storm you're in. But we are living for the Lord. We're doing our best. And most of the time, God is just sending in storms of perfection. He is trying to mold us and shape us and get us to a place where we can be used by Him. So, this morning, don't stop at 40. Don't stop at 40. God's doing a big work in all of our lives. So, that's Moses. We looked at Noah. But what about David? Turn to 1 Samuel 17 for a moment. 1 Samuel 17. I like what Brother Mark Stroud said when he started preaching Thursday night. He said, I'm like a diesel engine. I'm here to haul. It takes me a while to get going, but once I do, I'm going. I like that. 1 Samuel 17, David, when it comes to this number 40, we know that the giant Goliath was walking out into the valley of Elah. He was taunting the people of God. Philistines on one side, the armies of Israel on the other, and here's this giant taunting, ridiculing, mocking, making fun of, saying, come on, boys. Come on, any of y'all. Anybody. Come on, give me a man. Give me a man. And everybody was cowering down. And no one was standing up, including Saul himself. But then there was a call for a DoorDasher one day. Yes, the first DoorDasher. David was delivering food to the armies of Israel. Okay? He was on his way, doing his job, trying to make a couple bucks, delivering groceries to the army, and then he saw what was happening to the armies of Israel. And he says, is there not a cause? This man is ridiculing, he's mocking, and he's trying to hinder God's people. Should not anyone just jump in there and fight him? Everybody's heart was failing because of fear. This young man, with a little bit of experience by killing a bear and a lion, rescuing his sheep, jumped in and said, I can do it. I can do it. 40 days, the Bible says in verse 16. Listen, look, 1 Samuel 17, verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days of taunting, ridiculing, and mocking. Look at verse 17. And Jesse said unto David his son, day 41, if you would, take now for thy brethren if of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. He ran the groceries. He seen the problem. And we know that David stepped in and he defeated this giant. Verse 45 says, Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And so David recognized he couldn't solve the problem. David recognized he couldn't whoop this giant, but God can. God can. David, he had his staff, but then he had his little satchel, and he put 5 smooth stones in there, only had to use one. How in the world can one little stone take down a giant? Only when God's in the mix of it. David gave God his little bit, and God used it to take down that giant. Listen, we're facing giants in our life daily. It may be the giant of lust. It may be the giant of some kind of, you know, money problems or struggles. It may be the giant of the flesh in some avenue or manner. I don't know what the giant may be in your life, but we all face giants, and we can't whip them. But God can whip them. If we give God what little bit of strength we have, if we give God what little bit of ability we have, like the lad and the loaves, I keep saying it and saying it and saying it, but I love it. It's all about transfer and transform. The lad gave Jesus 2 fish and 5 loaves, and the moment that he took it, he transformed it and fed the multitudes with 12 baskets left over. You said this morning, Brother Justin, I can't whoop the giant in my life. You're right, you can't. But God can. Like I said in the very beginning, if we get to a place of desperation where we realize that we're going down and we're going to sink, if God don't do nothing, and then we get on our face before God, we're prostrated down the ground, say, God, I have a family to lead. I have a wife, Lord. I have a church, and I have all these responsibilities in my life. God, I'm going down. Would you please help me get up? And God will each and every time. I promise you, the battle is the Lord's this morning. Don't stop at 40. Yeah. Keep moving forward. You say, what's the use, Brother Justin? I've been trying for years to get this thing out of my life. I've been trying for years, Brother Justin, to get peace in my family. I've been trying for years, Brother Justin, to just be better and get better. And it looks like none of these things are ever going to happen. They won't happen if you quit. And there's a better chance of them happening, getting victory over these things, if you keep moving forward. Like that fish I was reeling in. Man, I wanted to see it. Man, I wanted to get it. Hey, I may even dive out of the boat and try to bear hug that thing and get up in that boat with me. I wanted to see it. I wanted to get it, but the line snapped. Pow! I'll never know. If you quit this morning, you will never know what could have been. Don't quit. Let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm not going to quit this morning. Are you going to quit? Let's keep moving forward. Let's pray harder. Let's pray longer. Let's get more intimate in our prayers. Let's get desperate for God. Let's strive to be the best parents we can be. Let's strive to be the best spouses we can be. Let's strive to just be the best version of us. Don't stop at 40. The giant will fall in your life if you keep moving forward. Gradually, things will get better. So we see David here. And David didn't stop at 40. But then one more this morning. And that's found in Luke chapter number 4. Verse number 2, Jesus didn't stop at 40. Meaning Jesus didn't stop on day 40 of experiencing some of the worst spiritual attacks anybody could ever experience. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 2. Luke 4, verse number 2. Verse 1, then 2. Listen to this. Luke 4, 1, 2. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. 40 days. Day. Turns into night. Night turns into day. Day turns into night. Night turns into day. On and on and on and on. While he was fasting, being tempted of the devil. Have you ever had those weeks where it was just day after day after day? And when I say the devil wastes no arrows, friend of mine, I mean it. The devil wastes no arrows. He doesn't waste them. Now, I'll put a little post on Facebook. This isn't in my notes, and to be honest with you, I'm partially proud of this. I'm partially proud of this. And what I put on Facebook was a little picture of a family portrait on a table. Husband and wife. And then there were demons all around the family. And there's a little sentence that says, "This is what the devil wants to do to your family. This is what the devil wants." Evidently, I got in trouble for that. Our account was flagged and removed. And based upon someone's comment the other night, they said that I'm in Facebook jail. Okay? If I'm in Facebook jail for that, I'm glad.
Amen.
Okay? Put me in the jail, throw away the key. We're talking about digital stuff, people. Okay? I'm proud of that.
Amen.
Making a stand. Evidently, a devil worshiper didn't like it. Or someone even said maybe a sensitive, immature Christian didn't like it. I don't know how that makes sense, but whatever. But did you know in the unseen world this morning, the devil's helpers, the demons of hell, are surrounding your family? They are watching your every move. They want to trip you up. They want to shoot an arrow early on Monday at you and here and here. And listen, the devil knows our steps. He watches us. The devil observed Job, didn't he? The devil observed Job. In fact, in the book of Job, the devil says, "I can't get to Job because there's a hedge of protection around him. I can't touch Job's life." And so this morning, we have an enemy that is surrounding us, wants to destroy your life, wants to destroy your testimony, wants to destroy your family. And that's just the truth this morning. The same thing Jesus went through. Although he's the God-man, he would never falter nor fail nor succumb to temptation, but yet for 40 long days with no McDonald's in the belly, he was tempted. But yet day 41 came, or if you would, the day of deliverance came, when the Bible says in Mark 1:13 that angels came to minister unto him. What I'm telling you this morning, the attacks of the enemy will not be all the time, but they will be sometime. And we need to fortify ourselves. The devil wants to get you at day 40, and he wants you to throw in the towel. He wants you to bow. He wants you to bend to your imaginations. He wants you to give in to those thoughts of negativity. He wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. Oh, there's no hope for Calvary. You're just dreaming something that's like the wind. You can feel it, but it's not going to happen. No, I'm pushing forward with Calvary, trying to help us, lead us to move forward. You push forward in your life, and I'll push forward in my life in all these other areas. Because there's coming a day when the temptations are going to end. The devil can't be everywhere at one time. You know, sometimes I wonder, some people say, "Well, Brother Justin, pray for me, pray for me. The devil's on me." And I'm not making light of that. I'm sure he is. But he can't be everywhere at one time. Yes, he has helpers. But some of these have said that. I just wonder, Brother Allen, is the devil really on them? Are they really a threat to the devil? Listen, at any rate this morning, Jesus for 40 days was tempted and tried, but then came day 41. Don't stop at 40 this morning. So the message is simply this: don't quit. Don't quit. That's all I have to tell you this morning at the end of Jubilee is don't quit. Brother Snyder says, I've mentioned this in choir. Brother Snyder said this in his message on last Sunday morning about change and transition. He said, everybody's excited with the idea of change, but the transition of change That's a whole other thing to get people to buy in. Because the transition of change isn't always comfortable. The transition of change isn't always, oh, we want to change. We want God to bless Calvary. I want God to bless my life. Are you willing to change is the question. I love that. It found a lodging place in my heart. So let's ask God to keep changing us. Let's don't quit. This is a process He's bringing us through, corporately and individually. He is perfecting us. He is transitioning us because He wants to change us. The rain will stop, church. The giant will fall. The devil will flee. Don't quit at 41, or don't quit at 40. 41's coming. Heavenly Father, that's all I got. I pray it was a help to somebody. Lord, I pray that as we've had a wonderful service this morning, thankful for those who responded. There may be some who haven't responded yet who may want to respond at this given time. So I pray, Lord, you'll give perfect liberty for that in the next few moments, and we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.